I think we should start, because we have three great presentations. So this is the public hospital caucus session on the difficulties and the assault, basically, on public hospitals and public health systems in three different cities. And I'm very excited, actually, for the presentations that we've been able to sort of have in the same room. And I think our discussion of what's happening in three different cities will be very important for sort of discriminating in a really serious way what our problems are and really possibly what solutions we should use as we try to actually fight back, I think, these kind of assaults on the public health system. And I think in the context of the sort of very watered down, insufficient past legislation in the House, the bill about sort of the future of our healthcare system, we realize how important public health systems, the public hospital systems we have is, but also how it might actually be further attacked by these kind of sort of insufficient stopgap measures that are sort of being proposed. And I think we'll be able to hear about that in some of the discussions that we'll hear in just a few minutes. So we're very excited to have three people who've been very committed to their institutions. In fact, each of them trained at these institutions, sort of. No, not you, but you did go to it. You have been there for 35 years. Have actually, obviously, a very strong commitment to the places, the public institutions that they work in. And so they've been there for the long haul and will be able to share with us, actually, the changes that have come through and what really the last few years has particularly wrought in terms of this issue. So Daniel Blumenthal, who will be our first speaker from Atlanta and will be discussing Grady, is currently the Associate Dean of Community Health at Morehouse School of Medicine. He has been for many years, had been the chair of Community Health and Preventive Medicine, and now I guess is the chair emeritus, and we're very glad to have him speak, and I'll introduce the others as we get to their cities.
Thanks, Merge. So I didn't train at Grady, but I did train at Charity Hospital of New Orleans, and so I'm a longtime veteran of the public hospital scene. Let me tell you a little bit about Grady. Grady opened in 1892, and like other southern hospitals, until the mid-1960s, it was a segregated hospital. In fact, it's still referred to as the Grady's, as if it were actually two hospitals. The largest hospital in Georgia. It is our big public charity hospital, serves and is owned by Fulton and DeKalb counties. Those are the two counties in which Atlanta sits. Atlanta does not occupy all of either of those counties, and most of Atlanta is in Fulton County, but a little bit of it is in DeKalb County, and it's those two counties that have had the responsibility for the hospital. It was an Atlanta hospital until 1945. And since then, it has been overseen by a public hospital authority, the Fulton DeKalb Hospital Authority. It has about 900 beds. It supports 8 neighborhood health centers, nearly 1 million patient visits a year. And in addition to its function as a safety net hospital, it is the only level 1 trauma center in North Georgia. So I think this is an important fact, that it serves not only the poor and the underserved, but it has certain services that help everybody in the city in very important ways. The trauma center is one, the poison control center is another, and the burn unit is a third. This is a map of Georgia, and I call your attention to the little area 3 on this map. And here's what that area looks like. Here's DeKalb County, here's Fulton County. If Atlanta were on this map, you'd see it sits about there. So here's the Fulton DeKalb Hospital Authority. This is the body that is responsible for the hospital, and it is a 10-member authority, 7 appointed by the Fulton County Commission, the elected body that is the legislative branch of the Fulton County government, 3 appointed by DeKalb County commissioners, and this is in approximate proportion to the amount of money that they put into the Grady Hospital budget each year. The chair, current chair of the hospital authority is a state representative, and the members, who are majority African American, are professionals and kind of small to medium-sized entrepreneurs, and all of them have political connections. And I mention that because in the run-up to the new arrangement that I will mention, it was said that the Fulton DeKalb Hospital Authority is too political. So the question came up as we began to appreciate the precarious financial situation of Grady Hospital over the last couple of years. Who needs Grady? Well, of course, the poor, the uninsured, and I said here undesirable patients, meaning the homeless, the drug abusers, alcoholics, people that you don't want sitting in your waiting room if you are a nice suburban hospital. And without Grady, some of those people would be sitting in those waiting rooms. Seriously injured, burned patients. If the governor or the CEO is in an auto wreck on the interstate highway that runs through Atlanta, he or she would go to the trauma center at Grady Hospital. Private hospitals need Grady Hospital for the reason that I mentioned before. It is a major teaching institution for the two medical schools in Atlanta, Emory University and Morehouse School of Medicine. Emory has other resources, the Atlanta VA Hospital, the Emory University Hospital, the what is now called Emory Midtown Hospital, formerly Crawford Long, and some others. Without Grady, I'm not sure what we at Morehouse would do, because we are virtually entirely dependent on Grady Hospital for the core third-year clerkships for our students in surgery, OBGYN, and internal medicine. So we have seen a slogan over the last couple of years that is on billboards, and you hear it on the radio: Atlanta can't live without Grady. Well, nobody will be surprised to hear that Grady has financial problems. About a third of the patients are on Medicaid, which of course pays less than the cost of services. About a quarter of the patients are on Medicare, small number of patients with private insurance, and the remainder are self-pay, meaning that they're on a sliding scale. And Grady says that the hospital provides about $200 million in uncompensated care each year. Which is offset partially by the money they get from the county, that the hospital gets from the county, which is on the order of about $90 million a year between the two counties. And that funding has been flat for about 15 years. In the face of healthcare costs that have at least doubled over that period of time, county funding has remained flat. So all this turned into what was called a perfect storm in 2007. The hospital losing about $55 million a year. The state went to managed care Medicaid, which saved the state money, but of course saving the state money means that there are smaller payments to Grady and other Medicaid providers. The disproportionate share hospital fund was redistributed so that less went to Grady, more went to rural hospitals. The state decreased funding for the trauma network, and a big hunk of that money was going to Grady. So it looked like, as you see at the bottom of this slide, Grady was on the brink of closing. They were saying, we need $100 million by December or the hospital is going to close. They brought in a consulting firm, Alvarez & Marcel, made a whole list of recommendations. A couple of the big ones were to close some of the neighborhood health centers and to close the outpatient dialysis facility. So the CEO at the time actually tried to close the outpatient dialysis facility, and the hospital authority fired him. It might not have been solely over that, but there was this juxtaposition of activity. And I would mention now that that CEO was an African American, and I hate to keep bringing up race, but you have to understand that everything in Atlanta is about race. And we like to pretend that it ain't so, but it is. Could it close? Could Grady Hospital actually close? Big public hospital like that, could it possibly close? Well, we were acutely aware that it wouldn't be the first. And so here's a list of big public hospitals that have closed. To the rescue, the business leaders of Atlanta, in particular, Pete Correll, who is the retired CEO of Georgia Pacific, big paper and paper products company, appealed to the Chamber of Commerce, who put together a task force, and the task force recommended that the county, that they're coming to existence a nonprofit corporation that would assume responsibility for the management and operations of Grady Hospital, and in essence replacing the hospital authority, although the hospital authority would continue to exist. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, owned by Cox Enterprises, had literally daily editorials supporting this. The businesses were supporting it. The medical schools were supporting it. Many in the legislature, state legislature, which has not been treating Grady well, were supporting this. It was said that the advantages were that the hospital authority was too political. Hospital authority could not raise the kind of money that private business could, and that better management could be brought to the hospital through the mechanism of the not-for-profit corporation. The Woodruff Foundation, that's Coca-Cola money, pledged $200 million. And in May of 2008, I would have to say that the hospital authority gave in. They said, you guys win. We're giving up our authority. We're signing up Grady Memorial Hospital Corporation, the new nonprofit corporation, to a 40-year lease to run the hospital. Here's what that corporation looks like. It's not a not-for-profit corporation. 16-member board of directors, a couple of whom are actually appointed by the hospital authority. But the leaders of the new corporation are the leaders of business in Metro Atlanta. I mentioned Pete Correll. We've got Tom Bell, who's actually retired CEO of Cousins Properties. Herman Russell, big construction magnate. I know you know about Waffle House, and that's kind of the shape of this board of directors. So now we've got a new CEO. I have to mention his race again. He happens to be white. He came from up Erie, New York, I think, where he had saved a rather smaller public hospital up there. Woodruff came through with their $200 million donation, $50 million a year over 4 years. Additional funds from other corporations and businesses in the Atlanta area, as you see here. But all the money is for new capital equipment. There really isn't any new operating money, and Grady is still losing about $55 million a year. So the new CEO brought out these recommendations from the consulting firm, and he tried to close three of the then 9 neighborhood health centers, and there was a lot of community pushback with 2 of the centers. The 3rd one actually did need to be moved. I mean, the population that it was serving had all moved away, but instead of moving it, that one was closed. So we lost 1 neighborhood health center. He attempted to close the outpatient dialysis center, and he succeeded in closing the outpatient dialysis center. And it has been said that some of the people who were displaced from those services, many of whom are undocumented immigrants, are going to die of their kidney failure, and in fact, some of them probably will die from kidney failure. Now, if there was somebody from Grady Hospital sitting here, he would absolutely dispute that. They're saying they're making arrangements for everybody with private companies, and some of the patients are going back to Mexico, and some are going to other states where Medicaid will pay for their dialysis, but this all seems rather unlikely. So, Grady saved. Better management. More money. And the new board has saved a great Atlanta institution. Well, maybe. So the allegations of mismanagement were probably incorrect. Grady had been audited by companies that do this sort of thing 3 times over the preceding decade. Every time it was found to be a superbly run hospital. It's just doing as well as it could possibly do with the funds that they had. Hospital's still losing money. We were told that it would close if it didn't get $100 million in new operating funds. Didn't get the $100 million. Still losing money at the same rate. Somehow it's still carrying on. And we have a public institution which is now privatized. And this was the complaint of many of the concerned citizens during this whole process, that we were taking a public institution that was publicly run, the governing body was appointed by the public elected officials, and we were taking it out of the hands of the public, although it was still supported by public funds, and turning it into a private institution. So what is really going on here? And we're still sort of waiting to find out. Is this truly just a civic-minded group of executives who have knocked themselves out to save the public hospital and are not necessarily being fully appreciated for the great work that they're doing? Or is there a hidden agenda here? Are they really planning to close down the hospital a bit at a time and turn it into something else, or maybe close it all down except for those parts that serve the public at large? We don't know, and I'm hoping that maybe at next year's APHA or the year after that, I can come back and tell you the rest of the story. And I thank you.
Thank you.